In August, I wanted to mention this. Pretty soon you'll see a banner up out by the sign. And many of our battleground area churches, our pastors, they've put together a sermon series that we're going to be preaching together through August. Some of our churches have to have it preach it a little later, but we're going to be connected and united in this preaching series. And so Eddie will kick that off the first Sunday in August, and then through the four services in August, Sundays in August, we'll be preaching a series talking about one, being one in Christ in our community. And then at the end of the month, the last Sunday of the month, we're going to have a combined worship service with all the churches in Battleground, and we will be at the Battleground Baptist Church. I think it's 5:30 on that Sunday. So we'll be giving you more information, but I don't know about you, but I'm honored to live in a city where the churches don't fight, but we get along and we lift up Jesus. Amen? And we pray for each other, and the pastors, all the pastors in this city are my friends, and the outlying areas, and I'm their friend, and it's just great to have this fellowship. And so having announced that, we'll dismiss the 5th through 8th graders to your class now. So thank you, and Wes and Becca will meet you upstairs. God bless you. So anyway, be looking for more information on that that series as well. And then again, thank you to all of our volunteers. All of our young people, our adults who volunteered at camp, did the cooking, the cleaning, and Cheryl and I are still up there. We're the last holdouts at camp. And it's kind of lonely up there without you. We miss you. But thank you. We couldn't do it without all of our volunteers. And there were many from our churches, but many from Landmark. So would you just join me in giving a thanks to all of our volunteers who worked up at the camps? Amen. And a very successful camp season. So thank you again. And those who sponsored kids, gave money so that kids could go to camp. It's incredible. All right, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please, as we continue. I have two more messages today, and then I'm not even sure what Sunday it is here. But we'll be concluding this little mini-series that I started here a couple of weeks ago in the next couple of weeks. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 through 22. The verses should be on the screen. You can follow along, but if you have your Bible, that's even better. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 through 22. It says this, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all." And then he gives these short little encouragements to the church. Rejoice always. And we've talked about that. What does it mean to rejoice always? Pray without ceasing. What did that mean? We talked about that, being constant in the attitude of prayer and being ready to pray at any moment, knowing God will hear us. And then last week, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. We talked about giving thanks not for things that happen, but in things that happen. That we can be thankful as we go through anything, knowing that Jesus goes through it with us. Amen? And that is the spirit of giving thanks. This morning, I want to talk about verse 19. Do not quench the spirit. Next week, do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So when Paul says this, do not quench the spirit, what is he talking about? Being raised in Pentecostal charismatic church all my life, I have heard this phrase used a number of different times about certain things. Matter of fact, as a pastor for almost 51 years, I've been accused of this, of quenching the spirit, because maybe someone looked at this verse differently than I did, and because I didn't do certain things I was accused of quenching the Spirit. And maybe you've gone through some of that. If you don't have a Pentecostal charismatic background, maybe this verse meant something else to you. But it is very important. It was incredibly important in the New Testament church. This and all of it, but the next two. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies. Because the work of the Holy Spirit, as it began in the, throughout the entire Bible, but it really came to prominence in the New Testament, was incredibly important to the New Testament church. And the prophetical ministries, as described in Ephesians and Romans, and Corinthians, was incredibly important. Now, there are some who believe that some of these things have ceased to be, but I'm not one of those. I believe it's still important, the prophetical work that the Spirit does. We'll talk more about that next week. But this quenching the Spirit. Now, I looked up a couple of different translations, and probably the best one that I found, I'm going to read to you. It's from the Amplified Bible. That's not as popular these days as it has been in the past, but it really said it the best, in my opinion, in verse 19. The Amplified Bible says this: do not quench or subdue or be unresponsive to the working and guidance of the Holy Spirit. How many believe that's important right there? Don't subdue it. Don't be unresponsive to the work and the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And I think that really brings down to us, down to where we are at, on what Paul was trying to get at. Now, obviously, if he warned the Thessalonians about not quenching the Spirit, evidently Paul knew of people that were doing that. Maybe they were not listening to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Maybe they weren't listening to the direction of the Holy Spirit. Maybe they doubted the presence of the Holy Spirit. Well, let it be known today, especially if you're visiting with us, our church believes in the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Amen? We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe that He's active, alive. He's the third person of the Trinity. He is God. And Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. He came down when Jesus ascended. He came down on the day of Pentecost. He was present and has been present since time began. And He's always been, the Holy Spirit. And now He lives within us. If you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives within you. And the Holy Spirit has a role to play. It's things that He does. We won't go into all of that this morning, but Jesus spelled out a lot of that in John chapter 14, 15, 16. The power of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit directs us and guides us and leads us and convicts us. The Holy Spirit is a good thing. Holy Spirit is a wonderful blessing to every believer. And so when it says not to quench it, not to subdue it, not to downplay it or to ignore it, it's very, very important. As a matter of fact, Jesus taught the importance of the Holy Spirit when He talked about the blaspheme of the Holy Spirit, not as being one of the things that could not be pardoned. And I know there's different opinions on that, but my own personal feeling is that is Christ rejection. One thing God will never do: God will not make you be saved. Hello? Come on. God will not make you be saved. Your parents may try, or there may be churches who try, but God will not make you be saved. Being saved, being born again, is a choice. Amen? We decide for ourselves. And when we decide that we will be saved, then God will work everything in His power to make sure we are successful, etc. But we have the choice. And so when someone rejects that, there's nothing we can do. If someone rejects it, there's nothing we can do. And I've had this happen. I've known individuals reject the Lord. And as long as they reject the Lord, they can't be saved, because there's no other name whereby men must be saved except the name of Jesus, right? So as long as they reject the Lord, there's no forgiveness. God can't forgive. But the moment someone says yes, and I don't care whether they're a child or they're an adult or there's someone on their deathbed, the minute someone says yes to Jesus, guess what? He comes in and He forgives our sins. Amen? He can forgive us. And so God won't force us to receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit. He won't force us to be saved, but he offers that. And it is a gift. As a matter of fact, Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit being a gift to us. And so evidently there were those who were quenching the Spirit. The idea of quenching is subduing or being unresponsive to it. And we're talking about a people now that didn't have what we have today. How many know this is a blessing for us today? I'm holding the Bible up, right? I'm holding the Bible up. This is a blessing. And it's the it's called the canon of Scriptures, meaning the complete volumes that God wanted to be put together. And it's as important today as it was being written. But the Thessalonians didn't have all of this. They would have a letter written to them. They would have the Old Testament scrolls, but they wouldn't have what we have today. So they heavily relied on the voice of the Holy Spirit to speak to them and to direct them and to give them the guidance that they needed. So some would say, well, now that we have the complete canon of Scripture, we don't need the Holy Spirit to give us direction. I don't believe that either. I believe even more we need the Holy Spirit, right? We need the Holy Spirit to let this Word be alive, and as we read it, to speak to us. And how many's ever kind of read a verse and didn't mean a whole lot to you? Then maybe you read it another time, didn't mean a lot to you. And then you read it again, and it was like someone put neon lights behind it, went bang, 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 bang. You go, whoa, come on. How many know that's the Holy Spirit, right? He brought that to your memory. He just illuminated it. And you go, boy, I've read that 40 times. And all of a sudden, it was like the lights came on. That is the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit knows what we need and when we need it, right? How many know that maybe you've been going along and maybe you don't have a verse memorized, but all of a sudden you get this sense inside of you, you get part of a verse. Let's see, there it is, you get part of it. And how many know that just bothers you till you find that verse, all right? So you look it up, you call the pastor, you call a neighbor, you call a friend. Where is that verse? That happened at camp. This last week, someone came up and said, there's a verse, I know it's there, and I didn't know exactly where it was, and so I went to my concordance, and we found the verse, and when I said where it is, oh yeah, that's where it is. That's the Holy Spirit putting even the partial part of that into your mind so that you can find it, so that you can use it, right? The Holy Spirit does that. He knows our weaknesses. He knows people like me who don't memorize really, really well. He knows people like you that you can quote every license plate in the parking lot right now. But he knows what we need and when we need it, right? So this is the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to people in the early church. He's speaking to them about where to go, where not to go, where to preach, not to preach. And you read the book of Acts, you can see that Holy Spirit is ministering to people. But evidently there were some people in the Thessalonica that weren't listening to the Holy Spirit, or they were quenching. They just were unresponsive. They didn't want to hear what the Holy Spirit had to say. And that's why he says, don't quench the Spirit. And for us today, the same admonition goes, don't quench the Holy Spirit. So is the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now? Maybe through my words, and I pray that the Holy Spirit words, but maybe speaking to you right now. Maybe you're getting a message from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is speaking, saying to you that maybe you've done that. Maybe you have quenched the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've subdued it. Maybe you've been unresponsive. Maybe the Holy Spirit is talking to you about doing something. Holy Spirit is talking to you about whatever it might be. And maybe you're sensing right now a little bit of conviction because you've been unresponsive to that. All right? Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Comes into play right now. Amen? Listen to the Holy Spirit, respond to the Holy Spirit, do what the Holy Spirit says to you, being unresponsive. Now, that doesn't mean you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. It's not what it's talking about. Doesn't mean you've rejected God. It simply means you've kind of turned your back. You've been unresponsive, all right? Give you a silly little example. This happened with Sharina. It happened with Abby. As she was little, my granddaughter, and now it happens with Adeline. You know, all of you know Adeline, right? She was sitting on my lap at camp, and she was talking to me, and I was quenching Adeline. I was quenching Adeline. I was unresponsive. I had to check a couple of emails. And so she sat in my lap and she grabs my face. And Cheryl said, she's doing the same thing Sharina did. She's doing the same thing that Abby did. She wants your undivided attention. But I was quenching. Didn't mean I hated her. Didn't mean I was blaspheming her. It's just that I was too busy to be responsive. And so when she did this, I knew this had to go here. Amen? Come on. I didn't want to quench Adeline. And so that's what we can do sometimes with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the Holy Spirit, because he's a gentleman, he won't do it hard, but sometimes I think he takes this and goes, boop, boop, right? He wants our attention. He wants to talk to us. And maybe he's talking to you right now, and maybe you're being unresponsive. Right now, three of you really have to go to the bathroom. But you will not get up right now because you think someone will think you're being unresponsive to the Holy Spirit. But I know that's not what you're doing. So if you need to go to the bathroom, please get up and go right now. But you will now won't go now because now you're embarrassed. And you'll never come back to church again because I won't let you pee. So, no. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. But he wants us to listen to him. He wants us to respond to him. Now, here's the difficulty of our day, in my opinion. In the early church, they were just getting used to this. They were getting used to listening to the Holy Spirit. They were getting used to understanding what the Holy Spirit was saying. And so they were learning as they went along. Today, you would think we would have that perfected. You'd think we would have it all worked out to where we would be just responsive, just at a drop of hat, bang. Yeah, Holy Spirit speaks, bang. Yeah. Well, maybe some people can do that, but I'm going to be the first to admit I don't. There are times, I'm sure, I have quenched the Holy Spirit. Not in a church service, but maybe just out in the everyday world that I have, the Holy Spirit was speaking, but I was busy doing something else, just like with Adeline. And the Holy Spirit had to convict me and show me that I needed to pay more attention to the Holy Spirit. All right? Is there anybody else in here besides me that could say, yeah, you've done that, right? Okay, about 10 of us. I think most of us have from time to time. How do you know is it the Holy Spirit? Now, I have had people, I don't know if I want to use this example or not. I had a person in sincerity say to me, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, that girl is going to marry me. And I said, well, okay, what's the girl say? And he said, well, she says no. But the Holy Spirit said that she was. Now, there might be cases where the Holy Spirit might change her mind or whatever, but she said no. And I said, well, why? Well, because she's engaged to someone else. I said, well, chances are really pretty good that that might not have been the Holy Spirit speaking to you. But get some other opinions. Talk to her dad. Talk to some of your Christian friends. Get some good Christian advice. And he said, no, I don't need any of that. Holy Spirit spoke. Well, he got disappointed. He got upset. She got married. It's just, anyway, that was probably just him. But he felt like it was the Holy Spirit. So how do you know if it's the Holy Spirit talking or not? All right, number one, you got to make sure anything you think the Holy Spirit's talking to you, it's got to line up with this book. Come on. It's got to line up to this book. And that includes any pastor or evangelist or singer, anyone that you hear on Christian radio or television or internet, anything that you hear on there, and they say, this is the Holy Spirit, if it doesn't line up with this, I guarantee you it's not the Holy Spirit. Come on. It's not the Holy Spirit. If you hear that television, whoever they are, say to you, you need the tithe and you need to send your tithe to us, Holy Spirit said it. No, this book says your tithe goes to your storehouse. That's your local church. That's where your tithe goes. Now, you can give them an offering if you want, but tithe goes to here. Holy Spirit will not go against this book, right? Holy Spirit will not go against it. So that's your first guide. And that, and checking out what you sense or feel the Holy Spirit is saying with the Word of God is a good habit to get into. Secondly, if you're not sure, if the Holy Spirit's speaking, you're not sure if is this the Holy Spirit or not, then check with your spiritual leaders. Check with a pastor, check with a teacher, check with someone that you trust, maybe a family member that walks with the Lord, and check with them. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors there is safety. All right? And so check it out and see if it's the Holy Spirit. You say, well, that, and here we go back to my upbringing. There was a day when someone would have said to me, that's quenching the Spirit. But that's not quenching the Spirit. That's testing the spirits to see if they be of God. Come on. That's checking it out to make sure. All right? Now, once you're sure it's the Holy Spirit speaking, then step out in faith and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I don't know Adrian, Ben and Adrian's whole story about where they're ministering, and I won't speak anything that would be detrimental to them, but I've never heard the whole story. I've heard a little bit of it, but I think if I'm correct, Ben, it had something to do with the Holy Spirit speaking, right? He's shaking his head, yes. The Holy Spirit. But I don't doubt that he probably checked that out with his godly parents. He probably checked it out with his pastors. He probably checked it out with other spiritual advisors and made sure that it wasn't just him, but that it was the Holy Spirit that was speaking. And that's the way we need to obey the Holy Spirit. Now, quenching that Holy Spirit is to know for sure, this is the Holy Spirit, and then ignoring it, subduing it, and saying, no, I'm not going to do that. That's quenching the Spirit. And that's what we don't want to do. Amen? So, don't quench the Spirit. Let me read it again from the Amplified, and then I want to go to my next point. Do not subdue, quench, be unresponsive to the working and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit wants to lead and guide us. All right? What should we quench? If we're not to quench the Holy Spirit, what should we quench? Well, the Bible gives us a couple of examples. One is found in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. And it says this, above all, and this is the armor of God that it's talking about, put on the whole armor of God. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, etc. But look at verse 16. It says, above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil or the wicked one. So if we're not to quench the Holy Spirit, what should we be quenching? We should be quenching the fiery darts of the devil. Amen? That we do want to subdue. We do want to put out. We do want to ignore. We want to not let that have dominion over us. And how do we do that? We take the shield of faith. Listening to the Holy Spirit is a step of faith, but battling the enemy is also a step of faith. And we take the shield of faith because of these fiery darts. Now, what are these fiery darts? What are these fiery darts? The allusion is probably, as you well know here, probably to the Roman soldier and the armor that he wore. And these fiery darts are probably little darts that were dipped in some kind of bitumen or oil or something like that. They were lit on fire and they were shot so that when they hit something, they would just keep burning and burning and burning. So the Roman soldier would have a shield that would stop those fiery darts from getting to their bodies. They could burn, but it wouldn't have effect on them. So what are the fiery darts that the Christian has to deal with? To me, this comes down to what some have called the battle of the mind, but it's the mind battle. That's where the fiery darts come. The devil has no interest in shooting a literal fiery dart in my body. That's not going to do him any good. But he loves to send fiery thoughts into my mind. Thoughts that are not of God. Thoughts that can do damage to me. Thoughts that can cause me harm. Those are the things that we need to quench with the shield of faith. Amen? Those are the things that we need to quench by the power of God. So if we're listening to the Holy Spirit, if we're learning to obey the Holy Spirit, we're learning to respond to the Holy Spirit, we're not quenching the Holy Spirit, then we have a great ability then to quench the fiery darts. Now, every one of us, I think, maybe have different fiery darts. I know the ones that he fires at me, I'm familiar with them. But maybe for you, maybe the enemy shoots the fiery darts of doubt. Maybe you're constantly in your mind getting these thoughts that pop in that say, are you really a Christian? Is heaven really real? Do people really love you? Are you a soul that, you know, and maybe these fiery darts of doubt, and maybe you deal with those. It's the shield of faith that puts those out. By faith, you have to say to the enemy, and this is the way you quench the fiery dart, is you say, I know that I'm saved. Why? Because this book says that I'm saved. Amen. I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. And I know I'm going to heaven when I die. How do I know that? Because this book tells me I'm going to. Amen? And by faith you stand and you come against those thoughts. And that is the way you quench those fiery darts of the enemy with this wonderful shield of faith. Maybe he puts fiery darts into your mind about something else. Well, whatever it is, you know, you can name these things. But we come against them with a shield of faith. It's the step of faith. It's the same way faith leads us to listen to the Holy Spirit and follow the Holy Spirit. So it's the same faith that quenches those thoughts that come into our mind. Those thoughts that are devastating sometimes. So this battlefield between spirit and flesh is the mind battle. And I want to talk about that for just a minute in the last few moments that we have. Romans chapter 7, please. Romans chapter 7. And what I'm going to do, it is a little bit lengthy. I'm going to read and comment as I go, and then we're going to finish up the message. Romans chapter 7, starting at verse 23. Now, I will not do it justice in 5 minutes. The volume of stuff that's found in Romans 6, 7, and 8. It's incredible passages and deserve our attention, deserves our reading and studying and taking time for it. So I won't do it justice this morning, but I do want to point out some things. And it's this mind battle. What do we not quench? We don't quench the Spirit. What do we quench? We quench the fiery darts, those thoughts that come into our mind or into our hearts that we need to war against. Starting at verse 23, Apostle Paul writing, but I see another law in my members. When he says a law, it means like the law of gravity, all right? It's not, there are places where it talks about the old law, but he's talking about like the law of gravity. It's inevitable, it's there. So he says, I see another law in my members, meaning my mind, my body, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So he says, here I am, and I see this happening. This battle is going on in my mind. It's the battle of flesh, the battle of spirit. And I've used this illustration before. Some of you won't even know what I'm talking about. Some of you are old enough to know what I'm talking about. Remember the little cartoon where there was a little devil on this shoulder and a little angel on this shoulder? Really? Right? How many remember that? State your age. A lot of you are old people like me. All right? Well, there was this cartoon and these little devil here and a little angel here, and they were whispering, and the guy in the middle had to decide who he's going to listen to. Verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? This battle is so strong with Paul that he says, I need delivered. This battle of to do right, to do wrong, this battle in my mind. The Spirit of God or the flesh? The flesh wanting to do wrong, the Spirit wanting to do right. Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That was the answer. And that is the answer to the battle of the mind between not quenching the Spirit, but quenching the fiery darts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So here is the battle. My mind wants to serve God. He wants to do the right thing, wants to think the right thoughts. But I have this body that's unruly, that just won't do the right thing. Verse 1 of chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So remember, the Holy Spirit doesn't condemn us. Holy Spirit convicts us, but He doesn't condemn us. To those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, and that's the battle right there. The flesh, the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So I have an obligation to life, to listen to the Spirit, but I have no obligation to listen to the flesh. All right? Let me use myself as an illustration. I really enjoy dark chocolate. And I especially enjoy it since I read an article that said it's good for you. Now, there may have been another article that says that article is ridiculous, but I didn't read that article. So I enjoy dark chocolate. So Cheryl got me this package of the little, I don't want to promote any product, but they're little square chocolates and they're filled with stuff. It's a package about this big. And boy, are they good. And so I took it to camp and I put it in the refrigerator. And I discovered, as I opened it, it's getting smaller. And I try to limit myself to one a day, like the vitamins. And I discovered that Jacob likes them too. And so there's three different flavors, and he likes the caramel-filled ones. I like the raspberry-filled ones. Then there's just the plain one. And I noticed the caramel ones were disappearing. I thought, who is bothering my medicine? Who's bothering my vitamins? And so Jacob came in one day and said, oh, Grandpa, yeah, I love those. Had you been taking those? Oh, yeah, we're sharing, Grandpa. And so it got down to just a few in there. And I thought, you know, and there was a couple in there like Jacob liked. I said, my flesh said, I ought to just take all those and eat them right now. And then my mind, my spirit said, you can't do that. Your grandson likes those. So I said, you're right. So I'll leave those. But maybe I should eat all the rest of them right now. See, that was my flesh. I know this is a silly illustration. But my spirit said, the little angel said, no, one a day is plenty. And then the other little voice says, but they're going to taste so good. And then the other little voice said, look in the mirror. So this battle's going on. Am I the only one that battles here? Come on. All right? Yeah, so it's back and forth. So I have to make the decision, what am I going to quench? I have this appetite for this dark chocolate, but I know I shouldn't eat too much of it. So am I going to quench the flesh or am I going to quench the spirit? Now, it's not going to kill me, but let's take that same illustration. Let's see, we still have some children in the service, so I'm going to be careful. Let's take that same illustration, though, in looking at things on the internet that you should not be looking at. Same principle comes into effect, doesn't it? My flesh wants to look, and the Spirit says, that's not good for you. So the battle in my mind is, who do I listen to? This little guy or this little guy? Where do I yield? What do I quench? Well, what I don't want to do is quench the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit speaking to me saying, don't even go there. What I need to quench is the flesh that says, but you need this. You like this. And the Spirit says, but it's harmful. Don't quench the Spirit. Quench the fiery darts. Come on, amen? Know what I'm talking about? Amen? Quench the fiery darts. Let's take it to a different place. I have a real problem with a family member, let's say. I don't, but let's say It's a family member. And the fiery dart says, they're terrible. They're a jerk. I don't even want to talk to them. I never want to see them again. But the Spirit says, you can reconcile. You can forgive. There can be mercy. So the battle's in my mind. What do I quench? Do I quench the Spirit and say, no, I'll never talk to him again? Or do I quench the fiery darts and say, I can do my best to try to find an opportunity to heal that situation? It's pretty tough. But that's the battle that Paul's talking about. The question is, what am I going to quench? I don't have time to go further, but what I do want to do is do this. I want to reiterate verse 1 of 8. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If we make a practice of listening to the Holy Spirit, it says to those who don't walk in the flesh. If we decide to listen to the flesh and we walk in that, it's nothing but a downhill walk. It will discourage us and weaken us to the place the enemy might be able to just get a hold of us. But if we're doing our best to listen to the Spirit and not quenching His voice, doing the best we can, even if we fall a time or two, we get up and we keep going, we're going to be stronger and stronger. But the point I want to make is there is no condemnation if you do fail. If you do fail in watching the wrong thing, God can forgive you. And He doesn't condemn you. He will convict you, but He won't condemn you. And to that silly illustration, if you do eat too many of those little chocolate squares, don't be condemned. Just do better next time. If that relationship is so strained, don't write it off. But if you're in a place right now, you say, I just can't do anything with that, don't be condemned. Because you know what condemnation is? If these other thoughts are fiery darts, I'm telling you, condemnation from the enemy is a giant fireball. Come on. It's a fireball thrown your way. Don't receive it. Reject that thing. Don't quench the Spirit. Quench the flesh. Amen? Amen. And then our last verse of the morning is found in the Song of Solomon. I love this verse. It talks about many waters cannot quench love. Praise God. Love cannot be quenched. There's a power. Worship team, would you come back? Thank you. There's a power in love that can help us as we try to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. There's a power in love. Many waters cannot quench love. No matter what storm you're going through, no matter what problems you're facing, love can endure. Now abides faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what? Is love. And it's God's love for us. That's why God sent the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is our guide. He is our friend. So don't quench Him. Don't ignore Him. Don't look the other way. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit live within us, guide us, lead us. And He'll give us the strength that we need. And no matter what floodwaters hit the love of God is going to stand true and strong because God really does love us. Amen? He really does love us. I got a text the other night. Connor, can we cut the camera now? I want to thank all those listening online. We appreciate you being here with us. We look forward to having you with us next Sunday. God bless you. Okay. Thank you. There's a reason I did that. I got a text the other day, or early morning, 1 o'clock. You've been praying, many of you have been praying for my brother Ronnie, my younger brother. Ronnie really struggled, as you know, I've told his story, with lots of stuff. But Ronnie's just been getting closer and closer. But I got a text from Ronnie. He's at work, and it's a lag time at the mill. He talks. He he works at. And he said, "Ed, something's going on. I have such a deep longing to know that things are okay between me and God. I gotta know, does God love me? I gotta know. Can he forgive me?" And it was a long text, and I text back, and you gotta know Ronnie. Ronnie's not a texter. He's a fishing guide, he's a fisherman, he ties ties, but those phones. But he took the time, and I wrote back and said, "Ronnie, be assured God loves you, and he can forgive you." And he texted me back, and he said, "But Ed, I've done so many bad things." And I said, "Ronnie," my text back, "Ronnie, I don't care what you've done, God loves you. And the Holy Spirit's talking to you, and you just received that." And he said, "Thank you, a truck's coming in, I got to go." While I was at camp, I got another text from Ronnie. He said, "Ed, I want you to know Tina and I are okay with God. We've made it right. And I have such peace in my life and peace in my heart." And I said, "Ronnie, that's what God can do. And we'll talk more." Amen. That's what God can do. Amen. That's what the Holy Spirit can do. Amen. And for my brother, and we're working with him, he needs a Bible. I gave him some sites to go for a Bible, and gave him Greg Laurie's website. You know, he's a great preacher, he's a good resource, but the good news is he's having a happy day. Amen? That's what we're going to sing. So let's stand together, and let's sing this song in honor of what God is doing in my brother's life, but maybe in someone you're praying for. Never give up. Listen to the Holy Spirit, never quench. All right, let's sing it, and then we'll have a prayer of dismissal.